The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks again for being with us. We will have Doug Howler from The Athletic today jumping on in. Doug does a terrific job, a deep dive that he has put out on ASU football. But I want to talk with Doug, Bobby Hurley in the offseason of Arizona State, what is going to happen with Romello White and Remy Martin, Josh Christopher and the G League, Josh Christopher and also Marcus Bagley, all of that with Doug Howler on the basketball side. Then we're going to talk about Eno Benjamin's decision to leave ASU, potentially ASU leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12, and how much trouble is college athletics in, all of that with Doug Howler. That comes up at 10:35. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, guys, and that is with life insurance. Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting here in my office during this quarantine time. Phone rings. It's a friend. He said, hey, I have some questions for you about life insurance. Do you have some time to get together? And I said, well, no, I'm really busy. Like, I can't get out. And so we went back and forth on some things. I have my license. I got my license about a year and a half ago. And so for me to try to help people out, I like doing that. You're in a space where you need to look into your life insurance. If you've not done so, simply log on, do it in the privacy of your own home, no one around, and go look at Sagicor Now and see if it works for you. I guarantee you it's something that you need to look into. You need to look into, okay? That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric is going to have his 2020 vision. That comes up at 10:50. He joins us now for a couple of minutes. What are you doing today on 2020 Vision, first of all? And what's on your mind today? Anything?
Today's 2020 Vision guest is Bree Ferris. She is a varsity cheerleader at Sunrise Mountain High School. We're kind of going off the beaten path a little bit. We've done lots of football players, some soccer players, a couple track athletes, a couple baseball players. But I wanted to see how it impacts another sport at the local high school level. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her.
All right. I like that. I like that. Did you see that Charles weighed in on his Michael Jordan feud?
I did. And I just wonder why Michael just can't let that go. Because, you know, like, just let it go. He is an analyst. They want him to analyze the job you do. And it wasn't good.
Yeah, so for those that aren't aware, so Michael Jordan, as many players do when they decide to go into front office work, when Magic Johnson went into the front office of the Lakers, it wasn't like the Lakers were all that with Magic Johnson running the team. When you think that it's just because I'm a former player, I've got this figured out, and nobody can question me at all, and nobody can criticize me at all, no, you're now not in control. You're the one that said, I trust this 24-year-old, and you don't know if he's got baggage with claim checks all over it from the previous stops, or he can't play dead in the pro league, even though in college it looked like he could play. So Michael deserves every ounce of criticism, and it's pretty petty, I think, on this deal. Charles doing an interview yesterday in Chicago about it, and it's really taken a hold of people like, wow, we didn't realize it was that severe. And this is something I think you've heard about, I've heard about. It's been below the surface. I think Michael's disappeared, you know, for a while after the Charlotte mess. I totally side with Charles on this one.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, like I said, Charles is always outspoken. Whether you like it or you don't like it, he's not going to change who he is. Nor should he. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Jordan did not excel in a front office position. No one will ever question his greatness on the basketball court. But the record is the record when it comes to what he was doing. So,
but what's interesting to me, Eric, about all this with Last Dance, and because there's nothing moving on all the other sports fronts today. So I'm going to go back to Last Dance. There's some things I haven't gotten into. When I did my shows in San Diego, Richard Esquinas was the golfer that wrote the book, or the businessman that wrote the book, Michael and Me. They finally referred to it. That was like the biggest thing going in San Diego. Richard Esquinas is somebody that we all wanted to have on our shows and all talk about. When Michael Jordan played baseball over here, I actually somewhere in my office have the play-by-play of that game because I did it. And I did it with Mark Grant, who's now the Padres analyst, was doing the radio show over at KTAR, and Jordan's going to play. And I said, let's go do the show. So we go to Tempe Diablo Stadium, and we set up, and we actually do the play-by-play of Michael Jordan. I can find it today. I'll throw it up on the show. I'll put it up on the website. It was, and I know this weekend that that's what this episode is going to focus on, is when he played baseball here in Arizona. And was it really a golf trip? Was it really a rehab from gambling? You know, where is the truth in all of this versus, well, I just want to go play baseball. And this Charles side of it, all this is just made this more fascinating. And I'm starting to get a little, I don't want to say bothered or concerned, because I'm seeing now where ESPN is saying we're going to fast track other documentaries that we're working on. One of them is involving Mark McGwire. I don't see where Mark McGwire is nearly going to resonate like Michael Jordan has resonated. I just don't see it. There's a space, and we do it in this business. When you came to me about Spencer Rattler, and we sat together when he was a sophomore, and we actually had a group that said, we want to go do a documentary. And we did the documentary, and it did really well. But we did it early in his high school career. We didn't do it at the end. So when he did his thing, I forget if it was with QB1, the Amazon piece, and it showed a completely different side of him than what any of us had ever seen, and showed things that none of us had seen. It really wasn't a true documentary. It was just something that we put out that did well. This Michael Jordan piece, there's criticism now directed at him because he's involved in the executive producing of it. So we're not going to see things that are too controversial, reportedly. I think so far, outside, like the Charles piece of him and Michael not getting along should have been brought up, in my view. Should, and it's pretty simple. Somebody asked Charles, are you and Michael speaking? No. Scott Van Pelt had Charles on the other night, and they were dancing around the whole issue. Now it's become this brush fire today. Like MJ and Charles don't get along. They don't talk. Same thing with Tiger Woods. If you ask Charles about Tiger Woods, it's not like they sit there and talk like they used to. So I don't want this thing to get holes punched into it, but there's some things starting to show up that are, maybe it's more buzzworthy and people want that, but maybe the curtain is now being pulled back a little bit more on, okay, you guys had to rush through this. Maybe you should have addressed the thaw, or not the thaw, the icy relationship between two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I honestly, Brad, think they should. I will punch some holes in it, because one of the great things about the documentary is they have gone in depth on some things that I never knew about.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about two polarizing figures like Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan not getting along, I mean, why would you not want to put that into the documentary? But I know Jordan is probably overseeing the entire project, and he's probably saying, I do want to talk about that, but I don't want to talk about that. And I'm sure the people at ESPN are like, yep, it's, you know, you're the lead horse in this, so to speak. But I just think it would add even more intrigue if they did go on the record. And maybe that would lead to them reconciling, because I think it's ridiculous. I mean, they were such close friends. They showed it in the last episode of them in Barcelona and always hanging out together. And just for it to end over something like that just seems ridiculous.
Well, you have to have villains, right? And so in this, Jerry Krause and Isaiah Thomas have been the villains. And
clearly.
And every episode possible, there's a shot at Krause. Every episode, there's just a, let's bury him a little bit further. I'll give Isaiah Thomas credit on this one. The fact that he has been on camera, the fact that he's addressing it, I've never been an Isaiah Thomas guy. That's just me. There's always been something about him, and maybe that's back in that era when I was there every night at games and you just heard and saw stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm not a part of that. But he's been featured. He did the sit down. He dressed Natalie. He tried to be apologetic. He tried to be understanding. He came across as phony to me. Do I believe that Michael had a space in saying, yeah, he couldn't be part of the team? I would have to believe that. I know Michael Wilbon had to go back on something he said. He said after it the other night on the air, there were 8 or 9 players that didn't want him on the team. And yesterday he had to tweet out, I was wrong. I've heard from a lot of players. They said I'm completely wrong, and I apologize for misspeaking on that. So even as this is unfolding, we're having like, well, this is what happened. Well, no, it's not really what happened. And maybe that's part of the drama of it. The fact that they are trying to get John Stockton when this all got shut down with the COVID-19, I would like to hear John Stockton speak. I don't think John Stockton is going to sit there and say very, very little. I would like to hear Magic Johnson talk about Charles and MJ. And there's people that don't like Magic and they think he's a phony. So, you know, or Larry Bird to talk about, hey, can we get Magic, or can we get Charles and Michael together and reconcile? It is kind of like, out of everything so far, I would like to see that. Maybe I'm too close to the situation because Charles is here in town. But like you said, it's stupid to have two grown men that aren't speaking to one another because one of them's feelings is hurt or when I hear the disrespect, like, dude, proof's in the name. What was the record of Charlotte when you were you know, what have you exactly done there that's been really resonating of, I got it all figured out? Nothing.
Yeah, it's easy for us to sit here and kind of pick apart the little things of The Last Dance. But we talked about it on Monday, Brad. I would have loved to hear from Dan Marley. I mean, that just would have been incredible, especially because I guess Jerry Krause was a huge fan, and that inner drive, that motivation that Michael Jordan, I guess, needed, he took from the fact that Jerry Krause loved Dan Marley. So I'm just going to go abuse Dan Marley for 6 games in the NBA Finals. So,
well, and I've noticed LeBron James is now tweeting about this and writing about it. And maybe it was people making too much out of nothing. I certainly brought it up initially that he wasn't making any mention at all about this. And there's people that are in the whole, he's the GOAT, I'm the GOAT, all that stuff. The Kobe stuff the other night, the people that I've talked to, that made them cry, actually moved their emotions to see Kobe Bryant show up on screen. Like, they weren't expecting that. And is there more from Kobe Bryant in these last 4 episodes, or could they even say, you know what, we've got some footage we never used, we'll put it up online, or we could actually create 2 more episodes on top of this.
Exactly.
You know, let's not do too much of one thing.
Because you know, Brad, when these 10 episodes air, if they wanted to go back and do a couple more episodes or circle back on some things that they may have missed the first time, it would draw huge numbers because they could just sort of tease it along like they did and then have this, you know, okay, this Sunday it's happening and millions upon millions of people would watch it. I promise you.
Well, there'd be more time if things open up. If things open up and people can get back to being in hotels and on planes, then all of a sudden I think it opens them up to say, you know what, we didn't go get this person. We didn't go get that person. We could go do a deeper dive with this person. There's people that bring to me the attention to me of Jordan's eyes look jaundiced, like he's hammered or he's got something physical going on the entire time that he speaks. I don't know. There's been a couple times where that's happened. But I don't look at him like there's something physically wrong with him. I don't know if people are just reading too much into that.
I don't know. Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, he wasn't slurring his speech. He was very well spoken. Everything was very detailed in what he was saying. So I'm not really buying into that, but I'm not an expert on that, so I'll let other people
But this week's episode is going to be about right here in the Valley over at Tempe Diablo Stadium and him playing baseball. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I noticed where Mel Kiper has already, and this is where we are. We're in May, and I'm bringing up NFL Draft 2021, but it is somewhat interesting, and then we'll take a break and get to Doug Howler. But Mel Kiper, they roll him out yesterday because there's nothing going on. We're just in that space of the NBA is going to say we're going to wait. Baseball, we're going to wait. Got to wait for the players' union. Got to wait for the all clear, the NHL. So there's no news on the leagues other than the schedule for the NFL is coming out, which I think is a positive in one regard, and that is it shows that they believe September 10th They're going to be out on the field, and if they can be out on the field September 10th, then so can college and so can high school. There's also some other plans that could push that schedule back. But Eric, you know, we talked about Trevor Lawrence being the guy next year, and the Cardinals are not going to be in the market for a quarterback, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to be awful. I don't think they're a 13-win team. I think they're about 8 to 9 wins next season. We'll see how the schedule lays out. But have you heard of this quarterback at North Dakota State that Mel Kiper has as the number one guy alongside of Trevor Lawrence? Is this Carson Wentz 2.0? Trey Lance?
I have seen Trey Lance play a little bit, but I don't know enough about him. I know he did. I don't think he threw a single interception last year, but playing for the Bison, I mean, they pretty much manhandle everyone that they play. Even when it gets to the playoffs, they're very, very rarely challenged. But I can see that being the case. I also saw something the other day, Brad, that I think Justin Fields is even now being mentioned above Trevor Lawrence in terms of the top quarterbacks for next year. So.
No, but so if you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Justin Fields, and you have Trey Lance, the following year, supposedly, and I think it's way too soon, the hype train for Jaden Daniels is just becoming out of control. Like, he'll be the number one quarterback, the number one pick after his junior year. Let's just see. You know, let's just see, what does he have to work with? He doesn't have Brandon Ayuk coming back. Doesn't have Kyle Williams coming back. Yeah, he's got all these stud receivers in high school, but all these stars in high school doesn't mean jack that they're going to be able to have it translate over on the field for Jaden Daniels this year. So,
well, I mean, you're not buying the hype, but I am buying the hype. So I guess we'll just agree to disagree.
You think he's going to be a number one overall pick?
I didn't say that. I just think he will be one of the top quarterbacks taken after he leaves his junior year. I don't think he's going to be here for 4 years.
Well, I don't think that's too far of a stretch, because quarterbacks always get taken early.
Right.
I mean, we had 4 in the first round this year. So I don't think that's a stretch on your part.
I think he's tracking to be a top pick. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think, I'm not going to sit here and say, yep, he's going to be the number one overall pick in 2022. Like, I can't, or 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that, but.
But does Arizona State have to do something? They can't just have a quarterback that's this good and they go to the Sun Bowl every year.
Why?
Don't you have to have, I understand that if you look at the quarterbacks that went 2 weeks ago, they all didn't go play in a Rose Bowl. They didn't all go play in the best games. But gosh almighty, this program has done zero, zip, zilch since Jake Plummer. And it's just maddening that people are like, look at how great things are. No, they're not great. It's been 22 freaking years. You know, at some point, get beyond San Diego, El Paso, get to a point where you're winning 9-10 games.
Well, I think the last 2 years, Arizona State's had a first-round pick. So if Jaden Daniels is really good as a junior, he's going to be a first-round pick, probably higher than N'Keal Harry and Brandon Ayuk.
Do you think that Arizona State's in a place where they should have multiple first-round picks if you're going with the pro model and all the hype train that Antonio Pierce is putting out there alongside of Herm?
Of course. But we've been saying that for the last, you know, what is, oh, the ASU, the sleeping giant of the Southwest.
I know. And look, I'm going to fall on this one till the day I die. The day they hired Herm, I said on this show, and Ray, I trust, this is a great hire. And most everybody crushed this hire. Now all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, look at how great things are. Like, make your minds up. It's okay to change an opinion, but gosh. Get this thing better than where it is.
It's trending in the right direction, but they're not there yet.
All right. Doug Howler is next. We'll talk more about that. Then Eric will have his 2020 vision. Stay with us. All right. As promised, we turn our direction now to the college side of things, and we promise Doug Howler, and he delivers with The Athletic, as he does. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Doug has a deep dive on ASU football that is a meat sandwich and a half in this time of quarantine. It's a quarantine article because you can sit there all day and process it in and out. I like the beard. I like the look. You hope your family is safe. Let's just go through the punch list of things. Bobby Hurley is scheduled to speak later today. Romello White, Remy Martin. Romello White, family in Georgia. Romello White's AAU coach is Jerry Stackhouse. We expecting Romello White to go to Vanderbilt. Let's just start with basketball.
Well, of all the three guys, ASU had three guys, Brad, declare for the draft, meaning they were going to test the waters, Remy Martin, Alonzo Verge, Romello White. Romello was always the guy that I wondered about whether he would return for a lot of different reasons. One, he got an early start. He redshirted for academic reasons his first year. So he had gone through for 4 years. And a lot of times people go through 4 years, they're ready to move on. They're ready to get started with their life, no matter what it is. So I wondered about the pro possibilities. I will say that the transfer portal surprised me a little bit, but I will say this. I talked to Jerry Stackhouse back before he was the Vanderbilt coach. This was Romello's sophomore year. And, you know, and Romello was frustrated at that time. And Jerry said, Jerry kind of suggested, hinted that maybe there might be a transfer down the road. And he just kind of said, we'll talk about that in the offseason. You don't want to disrupt your season right now. But it just kind of stuck in my head that Romello wasn't happy with his role in the offense. And, you know, at guard U, you know, Bobby gives those guys a lot of freedom. I do think that was a factor in this decision. By all means, I checked on this throughout the season, talked to a lot of people. He was happy this year. But, you know, these guys want to make money. They want to play professionally, and it's hard to blame them for, you know, making a decision like this.
Well, and in his case, it sounds like he needs to make money. It sounds like there's some family stuff going on there, too. Not to go too deep on this, but we never really know. On the outside, we can just say, what's he doing? He's not ready. Well, if you can get a check somewhere, even if it's bumping around on a bus in Israel, you're going to do it for your family.
Yeah. And well, I mean, after I think the Washington State game this week, he went home, or this past season, he went home, or maybe it was right before, it was after the UCLA game. Yep. His grandmother died. He was very close to his grandmother. And I imagine that probably changed the situation a little bit. I imagine the situation we're in right now with the coronavirus probably was a factor. People want to be closer to home, closer to family. He's from Georgia. So he has a little kid. All that makes sense. But, you know, it's unfortunate for ASU because fans were starting to line things up. You know, you have Josh Christopher, you have Marcus Bagley come in. Remy Martin could return. And, you know, you're seeing on different college basketball national reporters putting these two or these early preseason rankings, and Arizona State's in the top 10. Arizona State hasn't started a season in the top 10 in as long. I mean, I can't remember a time when they started a season. Yeah. So, a lot of excitement. So, it, you know, it's kind of a punch in the gut to the fan base for sure.
Okay, Remy Martin, what's your gut tell you?
I think he has to come back. And, you know, Remy, I think the world of Remy. I think he's a great college basketball player. Did I see him last year and think he's ready for the NBA? No, I did not. No. Do I think he can maybe turn himself into one? Maybe, if he's a pure point guard. But, you know, I have questions about his perimeter jump shot. Is a defense sometimes. I mean, he plays with a lot of energy, but you know, he's not that guy that really hounds the ball. He can draw pick up fouls, but I think he needs to improve there. And I also wonder about the situation to where, you know, that we're in and teams are not going to have as many open workouts. I think Remy's the type of player that the more you're around him, the more you like him. And I just don't know how many opportunities he's going to have. I think best case scenario for Remy Martin, he comes back next year and leads the Pac-12 in assists, shows everybody that he could be that pure point guard.
Talk with Doug Howler over at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Josh Christopher comes here. Can I say for now, with what's going on with the G League, is there any doubt, any question in this day and age that a kid could wake up one day and say, you know, I think I'm going to go do what these other two big names are already doing?
Well, he signed officially today, so that's one step toward college. A big step, obviously. I did ask his dad at the time of his commitment if going professionally playing in the G League was a possibility. If they considered it. He said they did consider it. He said that ultimately they decided that college was an experience that they couldn't pass up. You know, his older brother Patrick had gone through it. Caleb's going through it now at ASU. So everything that I have heard up to this point is that he is going to go and be a freshman at Arizona State.
But just because you signed, I guess I am just one of those that has seen this through the years, that all of a sudden some team in Australia shows up And all of a sudden, the road to Tempe takes a real hard left and ends up in Brisbane or something. So I hope he's here from a fan standpoint, from a program standpoint. Has Bagley gotten lost a little bit in all the buzz about Christopher?
Definitely. Everybody, I've talked to a lot of people about Marcus Bagley, and you know, he's right up there. He doesn't have the shiny five-star ranking by all the recruiting services. Rivals does rank him as a five-star, but you know, the people I talked to, a lot of the coaches that he went against in high school up in the Sacramento area, and they just raved about him. They said that he is ready right now. And the thing is, everyone thinks of the Bagley name, Brad, and they think of that athletic ability that Marvin had, you know, and my goodness, he was an incredible athlete that we saw him come up to the high school chains here, or the high school ranks here in Arizona. The first thing that everyone says about Marcus Bagley is how well he shoots the ball. And it's not just that he has range up to the college three-point line. They say it's a deep range. He kind of was a shooter first and then developed into the Bagley athlete that we're all used to. So I think he's going to come in and, you know, everyone's already trying to figure out the starting five for next year. I think he'll be in there. I think Bobby will have to play him just for what he adds.
Who's left out? You know, you're going to look at this roster and say, you know, I'm Jalen House. I came here and I felt really good about my opportunity. There's only so many minutes out on the floor. I'm not singling him out. But you know, and I know, we're seeing programs now where five, six, seven guys leave every single year.
Well, yeah, that's going to be a big challenge for Bobby Hurley. And also when you have one and done type talents, and we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, that's a whole different set of roster management, of expectation management, of agenda management that a coach has to do. And, you know, we've seen Sean Miller struggle with that at Arizona. It's everybody. You have two paths of expectations. And, you know, one is to get to the NBA as soon as possible. And the other is to win as many games in college as you can. And sometimes those two paths go in different directions. So I think that's going to be really interesting. But, you know, the starting five will be interesting. I'm assuming Verge and Martin will come back, Remy. So I put out earlier that I think it will be Remy and Christopher at the guards and then Bagley at the small forward. And some people say, like, there's no way Alonzo Verge isn't starting. You know, a lot of it's, you know, you have to think about defense the other end as well. But I just think Alonzo Verge was so great coming off the bench this year that maybe Bobby could talk him into doing that role again this year. He's still going to get his minutes no matter what.
Talk with Doug Haller with The Athletic for a couple of minutes via Skype. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic, Things Inside and Out with Arizona State Football. He has a really good deep dive up on ASU right now. Were you surprised that Eno Benjamin dropped as far as he did? A. B. Looking back on it in hindsight, should he have been a fifth-year grad transfer somewhere else if he wasn't entirely happy with his role at ASU, as I'm led to believe?
I was surprised. I, like most people, figured that Eno would go, you know, maybe around four or five at the probably, you know, if anyone said what's the lowest, I would have said six. You know, you have to think he last year played behind the worst line in the Pac-12 and still rushed for 1,000 yards. Did he have some fumbling issues? He did. He had a stretch there, four games where he put the ball on the ground. But is that reflective of his entire career at Arizona State? I'm not sure. I mean, he really didn't have those problems before then. He catches the ball pretty well out of the backfield. He runs hard. You know, running backs are interesting these days because people are evaluated differently.
Yep.
I think same with Remy. You know, Eno is a guy that when you're the more you're around him and the more you understand his process, the more you're impressed with him. And he's a guy that he does his best work during the week leading up, not on the practice field, but in the film room. You know, everyone knows that he spent a lot of time going into the offensive line meeting room, talking to the offensive line coaches. And if Brad, if you ever watch him on game day, he spends a lot of time talking to Dave Christensen, the offensive line coach, more time than he does the running backs coach, the more time than he spends with the offensive group. He's always talking with the offensive line coach. So, you know, did I see him transferring? No. I mean, I think he's pretty loyal to Arizona State. You may have heard differently, but I think he made up his mind pretty early that he was going to go and try the draft and go to the NFL.
Jaden Daniels, all the hype and all the hoopla, and that's fine, and I think it's deserved based on his body of work and what we saw last season. What are you wanting to see out of him from year one to year two to go on that trek of this is a future first round or maybe top quarterback narrative that is now out there. What do you need to see?
It's really speeding up, isn't it? I mean, we've gone from true freshman to possible top overall pick in another couple of seasons. I would pump the brakes a little bit on that because I don't think that's fair to him. Was he impressive as a true freshman? Without question. I think he did a lot behind an offensive line that did give him much time. He did have some playmakers around him, though. Brandon Ayuk, you know, Benjamin, they're both gone. So I just want to see how he carries the offense. I mean, we've heard from Herm Edwards that, you know, this is his time, that everything's going to be built around him. So what is he, how does he handle that? I want to see what kind of chemistry he can create with a group of receivers that's going to be fairly young outside of Frank Darby. And just see how he just grows as a quarterback. I think this is a big year from him because right now he's just a really good first-year quarterback. Now he has to be one of the top, if not the top, quarterback in the Pac-12. Can he make that step? He needs to be more accurate with the football. We don't talk about that a whole lot, but his completion percentage was pretty low compared to some of the other guys in the Pac-12. So those are the things that popped to my mind. But, you know, expectations are getting really, really high for him. And he deserves it. And I don't think that will faze him at all because he's very mature. He's very poised. But, you know, he needs to really take a pretty big leap, I think, in year two.
You were one of the first ones that put on your social, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, but about when are we going to see games again, or maybe we wouldn't see games in stadiums with fans. We're sitting here now in May, and how much trouble is college football in? Is it because the NFL is going to release their schedule that, well, it's really not that much trouble because they're just going to follow the NFL's lead? Where are you at on college football starting on time?
I'm worried. I think the chances of it starting on time are slim. I do think they'll do everything possible, obviously, to have a football season. But we're in kind of a weird situation to where different states are opening up different things right now at different times. You know, will Utah and Colorado, those states, have opened up completely at the same time as Washington and California, those states that have been hit a little bit harder by this? Those are questions I don't think anyone has the answers to. And I know the conference commissioners have already started talking about that. How will that look, not only within the conferences, but nationally as well? You know, I think the best case scenario would probably be, the more likely scenario would be, that it would be delayed. How long, I don't know. But I mean, I think there are a lot of questions. Right now, everyone is saying we're going to open, or we're planning to open for college, you know, for having person classes. But the key word in all of this is planning. And that's the smart thing to do, to plan. But, you know, whether or not this is going to happen, I don't think we're going to have those answers for a while.
In Ray Anderson's chair, he's got to get football, as every athletic director does. If football does not start on time, or if games are lost, or if they're not fans in stands, as it appears there's going to be, will we see Arizona State cut some sports, in your opinion?
Well, the one thing in Arizona State that Ray Anderson and even Michael Crow have made clear is they're a big believer in the Olympic sports. I would think that is a last case scenario. Just because they've added sports, they are huge believers in those in the smaller sports, the Olympic sports. I just think if it comes to that, it will be the last thing that they do.
Okay, and one last question: television contracts are coming up. We all know what a unmitigated disaster the Pac-12 network has been. Okay, even though they try to say there's light at the end of the tunnel. As we go through what coronavirus is doing, are we going to see college programs suddenly be in a space where maybe we can't have football? And maybe, Doug, there's going to be a different conference that comes together from some bigger conferences. Will we see some schools be left behind? Will the Pac-12 stay as the Pac-12? People back in the day said, well, the Pac-8 can never grow to the Pac-10, and there goes the Pac-12. Are you in a space where you think there could be change within the structure of the Pac-12? I've taken the stance Arizona State would be better in the Big 12 for television reasons, travel reasons, so on and so forth in all sports. Where are you at on that?
Well, I think it's going to be something. Everything's on the table, obviously. You know, and it's somehow the worst case scenario is no football season, because they're going to have to recover those costs somehow, some way. And how do they do it? I don't know. You know, I had a conversation with Ray Anderson a while ago about the move into the Pac or move into the Big 12, and he was totally against it. He didn't really even entertain the question. He cut me off before I even really got a chance to have a discussion with him. He said, no, that's not going to happen. So I don't know, but I do know that, you know, these are unprecedented times, and you know, they're facing challenges they've never had to face. So, you know, nothing would surprise me at this point. I think that at some point, and probably if they're smart, they have all kinds of situation scenarios from A to Z about, you know, what might have to happen if we get to this point.
Keep the beard going. You look like a young Matt Damon. It's good seeing you. Thanks for the time and insight. Stay well.
Well, you know, my friends and I, we decided to do this, and now I think we're all regretting it, but we're too proud. No one wants to be the first one to get rid of it. So
I'm
stuck with it for right now.
See you soon. Stay well.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
There's Doug Haller over at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic again. He's got a really good deep dive up right now on Arizona State football. And we're back with more after this timeout.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Sorensen as we continue our 2020 vision guest. For those of you that are not aware of what we're doing, basically we are going to high schools around the state of Arizona and spotlighting one student athlete, boy or girl, from as many high schools as we can get to over the next several weeks as we lead up to what should be high school graduation. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Bree Ferris. She is a senior at Sunrise Mountain over in Peoria. She is a cheerleader. It's nice to see you, Bree. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. Doing really well.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for asking. I guess to kick this off, I'll ask you the same question I've been asking most people. How are you handling the pandemic, both physically and mentally?
Physically just trying to stay active, you know, still trying to like go on hikes and still get fresh air while also doing inside workouts to stay healthy, physically, mentally doing all right, you know, getting to sleep in helps, but yeah, doing good.
How has the balance been for you in terms of the, online classes, that adjustment from being in the classroom 5 days a week to doing things at home? Has your dedication and time management been tested at all through all this?
I think my time management has been tested, yes. But I think I finally found like my system. It just took like obviously like the first week to like really settle in of like this is the new normal for right now, and this is how I'm going to end like my senior year, and I just got to put my best foot forward.
You mentioned the balance between staying active and keeping the schoolwork in line. If you wouldn't mind, just take us through what one of your normal days look like from the time you get up until the time you go to bed.
Okay, so I'll get up, you know, I'm able to like sleep in a little bit. So I'll get up around 9:10, eat breakfast, you know, and then either I'll go on a hike. If it's too hot, then I'll just do like an indoor workout, you know, just like a little bit of like cardio, get my blood pumping, my heart pumping, and then, you know, abs or whatever. And then from there on, I'll either eat some lunch, have a little snack, and then get some protein in my body so I can get focused on some schoolwork. I'll do schoolwork for about 2 to 3 hours or whenever I finish my classes, because I only had two classes and one of them was a dance class. So we didn't need to do much for it. So that part of my school was pretty much over. So I only really have one class. And then from there, just hanging around the house, doing chores if I need to, you know, just trying to stay busy.
So were you a 4-year cheerleader at Sunrise Mountain?
I am not. I am actually on like the POM team side of it. So yeah,
okay.
Cheerleader, but considered a POMie. So that's more of the dance side of like cheerleading. I've been on it 2 years. I wasn't on it freshman year, and then sophomore year I was on it, and then I took a break junior year because of an injury, and then came back senior year.
What are you going to remember most from your time doing that, and what do you think you're going to miss the most as you graduate in the coming weeks?
I think I'm going to remember the relationships I built with POM. You know, I met a lot of people through POM, and I think POM honestly in the long run just helped me with absolutely like any life situation, helped me to look at things differently, and just, you know, life lessons that like my coach or some of my teammates and the stuff that I've learned from them. I think I'm definitely gonna miss my coach the most. She was definitely a big role model for me. So I'm going to miss my coach the most in all the special moments we had.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. You were fortunate enough to be able to finish your athletic season. I don't think there's not Palm in spring, is there? There's no Palm.
No, there's not. It ends around February, March after okay. the Nationals.
But I'm sure you have a lot of friends at Sunrise Mountain that either ran track or played baseball or played softball. What would you tell them if you had to give them some words of encouragement because they never got to finish their senior season of sports?
Yeah. Oh, that's hard. I think I would just tell them to try to keep their head up as much as possible and like keep their head in the game. Like even though that you didn't get to finish your senior sport and it's really tough. And I honestly, obviously can't imagine how that would be, but you got to keep moving forward, pushing forward and not try to look too much on the past and just kind of take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite question that I ask each of my 2020 Vision guests is what they are doing or what they have done during the pandemic that has been new to their routine. So we've had, Paxton Earl from Arcadia has really upped his TikTok game. Connor Tosi from Saguaro has really become an expert fisherman. He's trying to catch like the biggest carp in this little country club lake near his house in Scottsdale. Alexandra Zelaya, a basketball player out at Millennium who's going to North Carolina, said she is really taking up art even more than she has. What have you, is there anything like you have done that's been kind of different? You know, I think we had Tiziah Quinn from South Mountain that says he just loves cooking now. He had never cooked before the pandemic hit. So what are you doing?
I'm going to have to agree with the kid from Arcadia. I actually had a couple videos go viral. So from there, I just kind of just been making videos for fun, you know, whether it was just like with my friends, dancing videos, obviously, and just like pretty much opening my TikTok game. And,
nice job.
Spending a lot of time with like my dog because she's a little sick. So.
Mm-hmm.
I have to spend time with my dog.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cool. So, your friends, how have you been able to stay in contact with them so via social distance? Are you still kind of seeing them, or has it been more just like FaceTiming, things like that?
Yeah. We FaceTime every so often, but I still do see my friends just because my parents are a little more on the lenient side with the stay-at-home order. But, yeah, I still see them every once in a while just because it's the same people that I hung out before this whole thing. So they don't want to like necessarily keep me away from them. But yeah, I see them every once in a while, you know, twice a week type of thing. Just a little get together whenever, just catching up, I guess. So
last question. You're going to be making the move from Peoria to Tucson next fall. You're headed to the U of A. Why the University of Arizona? And do you know what you're going to study yet?
Why the University of Arizona? I've always been interested in the University of Arizona. I don't know what it was. I'm the first person out of my family to go to college. So I was just like, you know, I want to strive for something big. So University of Arizona, I've just always been interested in. So I thought that'd be great. And I know that their nursing program is very well. So I will be studying neonatal nursing.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was great seeing you. And I know we'll be in touch. So best of luck and stay safe. Okay, Bree?
Thank you.
That's Bree Ferris from Sunrise Mountain. And she is today's 2020 Vision guest. I'm Eric Sorensen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon.